Good morning, everybody, and I'm getting chaydish. Today's daf is Chagiga, daf Chav Gimel. We left off daf Chav Beis and Mabeis at the two dots, Acharayim V'toch. It's nine lines up from where the lines get wide. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Gross family, Mezecha Nishmas, Chanalea Bas Moshe Tzvi, Rav Moshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chayalea Bas Naftali Herska, and Svi Menachem Ben Shmayo. We hope all of the Neshamos have an aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for their sponsorship and their continued support of the shiur. So today we are going to start discussing some of the other chumras that we had mentioned in the Mishnah a couple of days ago. As everybody will recall, there was a Mishnah that told us either 10 or 11, depending on whether we paskin like Rav Ilo or Rava, chumras that Kodesh have, that we observe by Kodesh, by Kodshim, that we don't have to observe by Truma. And we had gotten past, well, we had spent a lot of time discussing that first chumra of being tovel a kli betoch kli. We had said that for Kodesh, it is not okay. For Truma, it is okay. We saw the machlokas, Rava, Rav Ila, what that was all about. And then we had a whole bunch of other halachas. Again, 10 halachas or 11 halachas, depending. All chumras that we observe by Kodesh, not by Truma. So now, in today's Gemara, we're going to start plowing through some of those other chumras. We're going to talk about the concept of part of a kli becoming tamei while the other part remains tar legabe truma. We're going to talk about the case in the Mishnah where somebody is holding medrus in one hand, he's holding something which is tamei in one hand. Is he allowed to hold truma or kachim inside a klecheres in his other hand? Why one would not be able to do that if a klecheres is matzil ala tuma? We're going to talk about Kalim HaNegmarim B'Tahara, and then we're going to segue in, because it's related, we're going to segue in to the whole process for the making the Afer of the Para Aduma, which was a very interesting process. It turns out that there was a fundamental disagreement between the Prushim and the Tzedukim, what the exact process was, who was Kosher to be mazeh the efer para, and whether that person had to be had to have experienced Harav Shemesh or not, and how that will determine whether you have to be tovel the implements that you use in order to make the efer para before they could actually be used. So again, just continued elucidation of the various halachos mentioned in brief in our Mishnah. So again, we left off Chaf Beis and Mabeis, nine lines above from where the lines get wide, Acharayim V'toch at the two dots. So says the Gemara, my Acharayim V'toch, what does it mean Acharayim V'toch? The back of the Kli and inside of the Kli, the outside of the Kli and the inside of the Kli. K'ditnan, like we learn in the Mishnah, Kli Shenitma Achorav B'mashkin, if a Kli's outside gets, it becomes Tamei with Mashkin, and we're talking over here, Tuma midrabanan. Why? Because mashkin liquid is only metame midrabanan. It's not metame midaraisa. If for one exception, except for one exception, and that's rokazov. That's rokazov. A meme raglayim shelzov. But outside of a zov, and we're not talking about a zov because we're talking about a tuma midrabanan. Because on a daraisa level, again, as we've said a bunch of times, on a daraisa level, once a kli becomes tame, the entire kli becomes tame. The phenomenon of only part of a kli becoming tamei, that is possible, that a shayach only by a tumah midrabanan. So if the outside of the kli becomes tamei with mashkin on a rabbanan level, achorav tameim tocho, however, the achorav, the outside of the kli is going to be tamei, but tocho, the inside, ogno, the rim, ozno, the curved handle, the yadav, the straight handle, the rest of the kli, tahorin, it's all going to be tar. However, nitmatocho kula tamei. However, once the inside of the kli becomes tamei, then game over, then you're done. Once the inside of the kli becomes tamei, then the entire kli is going to be tamei. But if any of the portions of the outside of the kli become tamei, legabe truma, only that part is going to be tamei, the rest of the kli is going to be tar. Legabe kachim, as we saw in the Mishnah, the entire kli is going to be tamei, even if only one portion of the kli had become tamei. Says the Gemara now weiter, two dots, Beis HaTzvita and the Beis HaTzvita. So in the context of talking about Acharayim V'toch, the Mishnah told us that if one part of the Kli becomes Tamei, the rest is Tar, and the Mishnah used three parts of the Kli as a descriptor. It said Acharayim, which is the outside, Toch, which is the inside, Beis HaTzvita, and the Beis HaTzvita. So when we learned the Mishnah, I did not touch up Beis HaTzvita. I did not translate Beis HaTzvita. We didn't know what it was until now. Now we're going to find out what it is. Beis HaTzvita, what is it? Says the Gemara, my base hatzvita, so Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, makom shet sovto. It's the place that you grab the kli to hand it from one person to another person. In other words, a handle. V'cheinu omer vayitzbeit la keli, that he handed over to her the parched grain. So from the fact that the pasuk uses the word vayitzbeit to mean hand it over, so beis hatzvita means a handle. However, Abasi Amar Rav Yochanan, makom shenaki adas sovin. No, it's the place where the Nakia Adas, where people who are in Istanis, where people who are Mufunakim, they're very particular, where they dip their food. And Rashi explains that if people, there are certain people who are of a very particular constitution, and they don't like when their food's mixed together. So if they have a dip, they would use to eat their food with a dip. If they would have a dip, rather than pouring, let's say, the ketchup, to use a modern day example, on the plate, they would have like a special indentation in the bottom of the plate where they would pour the ketchup. So one of my kids is like this. They refuse to have the ketchup with anything else, so they need a separate plate for ketchup. Or that, God forbid, they should have two types of food touching. So that's what Rashi's explaining. Rashi's explaining what to us is more of like a childlike sensibility, that they don't like anything mixing together on a plate. So what do they do? So that if you can imagine like the compartmentalized plates that we used to have for school lunch, so they would have that, and that's what the base hatzvita is. It's a special receptor. It's the special receptacle for a dipping sauce in a plate. So Tana Rabibi kameid Rav Nachman. So Rabibi learned in front of Rav Nachman. Kola kelim ein len acharayim v'toch. Kelim do not have acharayim v'toch. Meaning, what does it mean they don't have acharayim v'toch? Obviously, every kli has an inside and an outside. What it means is there is no separate status for an inside and an outside. Once part of the kli becomes tameh, the rest of the kli is going to become tameh as well. Echad kachei amikdash, both kachei amikdash, which obviously means kachim, v'echad kachei agvol, and also kachei agvol. And so what exactly is kachei agvol? Kachei agvol apparently is kachim that could be eaten outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of Yerushalayim. But what is that? So I'm like, kachei agvol meininu, in the first wide line. So what is kachei agvol? Truma. So kachei agvol must be truma, because truma has a status of kedusha, yet truma doesn't have to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, kachei agvol is going to be truma. But says the Gemara, v'atnan acharayim v'toch beis hatzvita l'truma. How could you tell me that there is no acharayim v'toch by truma, by kachei agvol? How could you tell me that once part of the kli becomes tameh, the rest of the kli, the entire kli, becomes tameh by kachei agvol? Aye, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah told us that by truma, once one part, even when one part of the kli becomes tameh, only that part is tameh, but the rest of the kli is going to remain in its status of tahara. So how could that be? So dilma lechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh kamrat. No, maybe when we say kachei agvol, we're not referring to truma. This is all talking about kachim. However, when we talk about kachei amikdash, that's actual kodesh. When we talk about kachei agvol, that's the concept that we saw of chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh. That it's not actual kodesh, it's chulin, but we're talking about somebody who holds and abides by all of the standards that would apply to kachim, even when he's eating his chulin. So nothing is talking about truma, it's all talking about kachim and chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh. So by the by, Adkoran Milsa, then he remembered, he was reminded of the lima, the Yama Rabba Baravua, Achas Esrei Milos Shanukan. Remember, we had said this principle. There were 11 Milos in the Mishnah. Again, 10 according to Ravila, but whatever. So there were 11 Milos in the Mishnah. Shesh Rishonos Bein Lakodesh Bein Lechulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. The first six apply both to Kachim and to Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. Rashi explained to us because there was a Drara de Tuma Daraisa. There was like a concern of some Tuma Daraisa by the first six cases in the Mishnah. Therefore, not only do they apply to actual Kachim, they also apply to Chulin Shenasa Al Taras HaKodesh. And Achronos, however, the last five in the Mishnah, Lakodesh, Avalo Lechulin Shenasa Al Taras HaKodesh, only apply to Kachim, but not to Chulin Shenasa Al Taras HaKodesh. This Acharayim V'toch was the second case mentioned in the Mishnah, because it's one of the first six mentioned in the Mishnah. Not only does it apply to Kodesh, but it also applies to Chulin Shenasa Al Taras HaKodesh. Ah, so it comes out very good. When the Gemara says kachei amikdash for kachei agvol doesn't mean truma. Kachei agvol means chul l'shanasu al taras hakodesh, because they both have the same halacha. Lagabe, the first six categories mentioned in the Mishnah, of which this is one of them. Says the Gemara now, Viter, three lines up from the bottom. So, anosei es medras, nosei es truma. So, if a person is carrying something which is tamei medras, he's allowed to carry truma in a klei cheres in his other hand. So, avalo es a kodesh, but he's not allowed to carry kachim like that. Says the Gemara, kodesh my time alo, why wouldn't you be allowed to carry kachim in a klei cheres? Klei cheres is matzal mabnei atuma. So, if a klei cheres is matzal mabnei atuma, so why wouldn't you be allowed to carry kachim inside a klei cheres, even though you're carrying something which is tummy, tumas medras in your other hand? Says the Gemara, misha maisa shahaya, because of a maisa shahaya. Damar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, maisa be'echa, there was once a situation, shaya mavir chavish al yayin kodesh mimakam lamakam. He was carrying a wine filled with kachim from one place to another, flipping to Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. V'nifzika ritzua shel sandalo, and the strap of his sandal broke. V'nutla, and he took it. V'nicha al pichavis, and he put it on the mouth of the barrel. V'nufla lavira chavis, and it fell into the airspace of the barrel. So this ritzua was tamei tumas medris. And we know that a klei cheres is metame ba'aviro. The klei cheres is metame when something falls inside. So because of the maisa shahaya, where the guy was walking and his sandal broke and he put the strap on top of his barrel out of convenience, and then it fell into the airspace, it was metame the kodesh, and that's why they made this gzera. So the Gemara says, v'nitmeis, and therefore the contents of the chavis became tamei, v'os asha amru. At that time they said, anosei asa medris, nosei asa truma, v'lo asa kodesh. Therefore, if somebody is carrying something which is tamei in one hand, he is not allowed to carry kachem in the other hand for fear that it might become tamei. However, they didn't make the gzera for truma. So we'll explain why they didn't make the gzera for truma in a second. But first, the top Tosfos over here is bothered. How is it that the ritsua can be metame, the contents of the barrel, the kachem in the barrel anyway? Because the only object that has the ability to impart tuma is a kli, and the ritsua is not a kli. How do I know that the ritsua is not a kli? Says Tosfos, because there's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that you're not permitted to carry a ritsua of a sandal that breaks. Why wouldn't you be permitted to carry a ritsua of a sandal that breaks? Because it's muktza. Why is it muktza? Because it's not a kli. If it was a kli and it had a purpose, then you'd be able to carry it on Shabbos. The fact that you're not able to carry it on Shabbos shows you that it's not a kli. But on the other hand, if it's not a kli, how does it have the ability to impart tumah? So says Tosfos two answers. So one answer is, for example, that it is a kli. Why is the ritsua a kli? Because even though it's only a broken part of a sandal, it's very easy for somebody to repair, and therefore it never loses its status of a kli. Tosfos also says that there's a girsa in the Yerushalmi that it's not the ritsua that fell into the barrel, but rather his sandal broke, so he took off his entire sandal, and the sandal fell into the barrel. The sandal is definitely a kli, and therefore the sandal definitely has the ability to impart tuma. The other thing here is that the Gemara had said that because of the Maisa Shahaya, which occurred when a person was carrying the sandal on one end of the ritsua on one end that broke, and then he put it on top of the barrel, and then it fell into the barrel, and that Maisa happened with Kachim, and therefore they said, you know what, you're not allowed to carry Kachim in a Klei Cheres when you're carrying something Tamei in your other hand, but you're allowed to carry Truma. So why is it that you'd be allowed to carry Truma? So the Gemara told us it's because the Maisa Shahaya happened to be only with Kachim. So it happened only with Kachim. So it happens to be that there are two types of Gzeros. So there's one type of Gzera which is based on Svara, and then there's another type of gzera, which is based only because something happened, which is based because of a maisa shahaya. So when you have a gzera which is based on a maisa shahaya, says the Chazon Ish, that gzera cannot be extended. Like, you can't use your svara to say, oh, because they were gozer in one situation, it makes sense to extend the gzera in another situation, because the whole basis for the gzera was only about a maisa shahaya. So once the whole basis for the gzera is only about a maisa shahaya, the gzera is going to be limited to a case that's on all fours with a maisa shahaya. If you're talking about a gzera that's based on svara, Well, then the Chachamim have the ability to say, well, once I'm being Gozer based on Svara, I could extend the Gzeira based on Svara as well. But where the Gzeira has nothing to do with Svara, there's no Svara that says that you can't hold a Tumei item in one hand while holding something that's protected from Tumah in another hand because it's in a Klecheres. Elamai, there was a Maisa Shalaya. So, okay, so you're going to make a Gzeira, but the Gzeira is going to be limited only to the exact fact pattern. That's why, in a situation like this, because the Maisa Shalaya happened with Kachim, they would make the Gzeira only by Kachim and not by Truma. Aye, it's the same Chash, right, but for a Gzeira like this, says the Chazon Ish, you're not supposed to be using your Svara in order to extend the Gzeira. So says the Gemara, this is what we're going to say in the Gemara now, Iachi Trumanami. So why don't you extend the Gzeira to Truma? It's the same logic, right? But that's the point. Says the Gemara, don't use logic. Hamani Rav Chananya ben Akavyei, Damar lo asru ela b'yardin v'sfinu v'maisa shahaya. That he only asrud it b'yardin v'sfinu v'maisa shahaya. The Gemara is going to explain to us momentarily what exactly that means. But the key to us is the last phrase, Maisa Shahaya. When they make a Gzeira because of a Maisa Shahaya, the Gzeira is limited to the fact pattern of the Maisa Shahaya. Therefore, since the episode happened with Kachim, only Kachim is going to be usher to carry like this. Truma is not going to be usher to carry like this. Mahi, what is this Yardain Sfina Maisa Shahaya? The Tanya, we learn as follows. Lo Yisa Adam Mechatas, that a person is not allowed to carry Mechatas, the water for the para, for the Efer Para Aduma, the Efer Chatas, v'yavireim b'yardein uvisfina, and cross over the Yardain in a boat, v'lo yamod b'tzad zev yizrgrem l'tzad acher, nor are you allowed to stand on one end of a, on one side of a river and throw it to the other side of a river, v'lo yashitim al p'nei amayim, nor can you float it across the river like in a little raft, v'lo yirchav al gabi behema, and you're not allowed to ride on top of a behema, v'lo al gabi chavera, nor are you allowed to get a shoulder ride from your friend, if that's the way you were inclined to carry the Efer Para Aduma, Ela Imke Noya Raglav Nogos Bakarka. You have to walk like a normal person, says the Gemara. If you're transporting the Efer Para or the Efer Chatas or the Mechatas, you have to walk. However, now are you allowed to cross on a bridge? Because it said that I'm not allowed to cross on water, I'm not allowed to take a boat, I'm not allowed to throw it across the water. What if there's a river between me and where I have to go with Efer Para? I mean, what am I allowed to do? Am I stuck? I can't walk on the bottom of the river. Aval maviran al gabe agesher. Don't worry, says the Gemara, you could walk on a bridge. Veina choshesh. And you don't have to be nervous. Echad hayardein. Now, when we said that you're not allowed to cross a river with the Efer Para, you're not allowed to go on a boat, it applies both to the Yardein ve'echad shar naharos, or to any body of water. Because it doesn't make sense. If you're not allowed to cross the Yardein, you shouldn't be allowed to cross any body of water. So says the Tanakhama, in fact, right, it applies to all bodies of water. However, here's what we're interested in. Rav Chananya ben Akavya Omer, lo asru ela b'yardein uvesfina uvemaisa shahaya. No, the only thing that's asr to do is exactly what gave rise to the maisa shahaya. What was this maisa shahaya? Says the Gemara, my maisa shahaya. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, maisa b'ademecha. There was a maisa with a certain individual, shaya mavre mechatas, vefer chatas b'yardein, uvesfina. He was crossing the Jordan River in a boat, v'nimtzeis chazayis meis tochav b'karkosav shel sfina. And they found a kazayis mace that was stuck in the floorboard of the sfina, and therefore was metame everything in the boat because it was a kazayis, and therefore it was metame tumas oel. Biosa shah amru lo yisa adam echatas ve'efer chatas v'aviram biyardei nevesfina. So they said that you're not allowed to carry Mechatos or Efer Kachatos in the Yardain in a boat. Why? Because the whole point is that if you're in a boat, you're not going to be able to search adequately for Tumah. Therefore, you're not allowed to transport it in a boat. You're only allowed to transport it on your own 2 feet while walking. So over here, we had a Gzeira. The Gzeira Alpi Svara could have been extended, right? If you're not allowed to cross the Yardain, why should you be allowed to cross any other body of water? If you're not allowed to carry the ritzu of the sandal with Kachim, why should you be allowed to do it with Truma? So the answer is, this is Rav Chananya ben Akavya, who's going to limit the Gzeira only to the exact fact pattern that caused the Gzeira to be implemented in the first place. Says the Gemara now, Iboilu, sandal tame. So this halacha is about a sandal, which is this halacha is about the sandal. So first of all, before we get here, Before we get here, the Turi Evan just asks a basic question. We're talking over here about a Maisa Shehayah where the Efer Parah contracted Tumah, right? Lechora, that's what we're concerned with, because there was a Kazayas Mace and the guy was carrying the Efer Parah, the Mei Chatas, and therefore it contracted Tumah. But how could it be Makabel Tumah? It is not an Ochlin, it's not a Kli, it's not anything that is of a category that's capable of being a Makabel Tumah. So the Turi Evan says, Enechanami, it must be Makabel Tumah because of Chibas HaKodesh. So even though it doesn't have the status of anything else that could be Makabel Tumah, especially the Efer, the Mei Chatas probably does have the status of a Mashkin. Mashkin can be Makabel Tumah, but the Efer Chatas doesn't. Elamai, because of Chibas HaKodesh, it is able to be Makabel Tumah. But back in the Gemara now says, Seboilu, Sandal Tomei, Sandal Tar Maru. So I know that I'm not allowed to carry a Tomei sandal in one hand and carry a barrel full of Kachim, a barrel full of kachim in another hand. But the how about, am I allowed to carry a sandal, am I allowed to carry a sandal tar in one hand? The kasha, says the achronim, is not whether you're allowed to wear a sandal. Of course, you're never going to extend the gzera that you're not allowed to wear shoes when you're transporting kachim, lest your shoe break and you're going to come to put your shoe on the barrel, because that crazy we're not going to be. But the question is, just carrying your shoe, are you allowed to carry a tar shoe while carrying kachem? Chavis psucha, chavis stuma mahu. You're not allowed to carry this tame object in one hand if you have an open barrel in your other hand, because then we're afraid that the tame object is going to fall into the airspace of the open barrel. However, what if it's a chavis stuma? What if it's a closed barrel and there's no way for the tame object to fall into the barrel? Of Arvanasa Mahu, let's say the guy's not supposed to do it, but he did carry the tame object in one hand and the kachim in the barrel in the other hand. So Ravila Amar im of Arvanasa tame. Ravila says, yeah, if he was over and he carried it, then it's tame because we're choshesh. Rav Zeira Amar of Arvanasa tar. Rav Zeira says, no, we're not going to assume that it's tame. If the guy did it, then it's still going to be tar unless we know that it became tame. In other words, the gzeira is a prophylactic. It's not that we're going to teach. It's not that we're going to treat it as if it's vadai tame. We're saying don't do it. It's good advice because it might become tame, but we're not going to treat it as if it is vadai tame. Okay, next case in the Mishnah was kelim hanigmarim b'tahara. If you have kelim which are completed in a state of tahara, they still require tvila in order to be used for kachim, but not for truma. So says the Gemara, tell me about kelim hanigmarim b'tahara. What does that mean? So it says, degamrinu man. Who completed the kelim? Ilem of the gamrinu chaver. If it was a chaver who's makbid on hilchas tuma and is a baki and he's going to make sure that it doesn't become tamei, if it was a chaver that completed it, so lamalu tefila. So why taka doesn't need tefila after it's completed? If a chaver is making the kli and a chaver certifies that it didn't become tamei, that he completed it b'tahara, what exactly is the problem? Why does it require tefila? Ela the gamrinu amaretz, because an amaretz completed the kli. So Nigmarim Batara Karilu. So if he's an Amarez and he's not a Bucky in Hilchas Tumah Vitara, and he's not going to be careful to make sure that the item didn't become Tameh, if an Amarez completed it, would we even call this a Kli Nigmar Batara? No, we wouldn't, because it's not Nigmar Batara. So Amarava Barshila, Amarava Barshila, Amarav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Liolam de Gamrinu Chaver. Really, a chaver completed the kli. Umishum tzinora dama aretz denafel, and we're afraid of the spittle of an ama aretz that may have fallen onto the kli, and therefore it may have been metame the kli. But says the Gemara, but when would the Amaretz have been in proximity to this kli, where we need to be nervous that his spittle may have landed on the kli? If the Amaretz was around the Kli before it was completed, Halav Manahu. Well, then before it's completed, it's not a Kli. And before it's a Kli, it can't be Makabel Tumah. So we shouldn't be worried that the Amaretz was there before it attained the status of a Kli. Ella Basa de Gamre. No, rather the Amaretz must have been there after it was completed as a Kli. However, but then Mizr Zarbu, but after it's completed as a Kli, if the Chavar is there, the Chavar is going to make sure that nothing happens. The Chavar is going to make sure that the Amaretz does not come into proximity with the Kli and have the ability to be Metami the Kli with his spittle. Says the Gemara, Liolam Mekame de Gamre. Now really, we're afraid that the Amaretz was there before the Kli was completed. The Dilma be'in the Gamrina Nadayan Lachahi. Maybe we're afraid that the spittle got on it before it was completed. So before it was completed, you're right, it doesn't have the status of a Kli. Why would it then be Tameh? Because after the Kli was completed, the spittle was still there and it was still wet. And because the spittle was still moist, it still had the ability to impart Tuma. And that's the situation that we're talking about. We're talking about a chaver. We're talking about a guy who's vigilant. However, the Siba, the situation that gave rise to the Tuma, occurred before it actually became a Kli. So the Gemara is now Madaik. And the Mishnah had said, you have these Kelim at the Gemara and B'tahara. Nevertheless, they require Tvila for Kachim, but it's only requiring Tvila. Says the Gemara, Tvila in Harav Shemesh Lo. It requires only Tvila, but it does not require Harav Shemesh. What is Harav Shemesh? Harav Shemesh is a concept that applies by in certain situations. Harav Shemesh requires that after Tvila, after an item is toviled in a mikvah, doesn't become tar right away, you have to wait until the end of the day. And then at night, because the Yom is Holech Achar Alayla, at night it's already considered the next day, and at night it's going to become tar. But from the Mishnah where it says that Kelim and Agmar and Batara require Tvila, it's mashma that it only requires Tvila, it doesn't require a Harav Shemesh, Masnis and Delok, Rav Elazar, and our Mishnah is therefore not like Rav Elazar. What's the sheet of Rav Elazar? So the Gemara is going to tell us right now, we're going to see why our Mishnah is not like Rav Elazar. It's not. Shvaferes, the reed tube, Shechatcha Lechatas, that they cut for the Efer Chatas. Rav Elazar Omer Yitbol Miyad. Rav Elazar says you have to be Tovel, you just be Tovel it immediately, and you don't have to actively be Metame it in, and then be Tovel it. Let's back up. There was a concept by the Efer Para. There was a big machlokas between the Prushim and the Tzukim. The Gemara is going to introduce us to that machlokas in a minute. And because the machlokas of the Prushim and the Tzedukim centered around whether a Tful Yom is able to perform the Maisa of the Para Aduma of the Efer Chatas, therefore, what they would do is when preparing the implements for the Efer Chatas, they would purposely be metame them, and then they would go ahead and be tovel them and use them right away to show that you don't have to wait until Harav Shemesh. You don't have to wait until the next day. So we're going to see this in a minute. But the point is, Rav Elazar says that if you cut the reed tube, in other words, you fashion it into a kli to use it for the Efer Chatas, just put it in the mikveh immediately. You don't have to be metameh b'yadayim. Why? Because it's already considered to be tameh because of the klal in our Mishnah that kelim adagmarim b'tahara require tvila for kachim. And what did we say was the highest level? We said the highest level was chatas. And if they require tvila for kachim, certainly they require tvila for chatas. So you don't have to be metameh b'yadayim. It's already considered tameh legabe the purpose of using it for efer para. Therefore, as soon as you fashion it into a kli, just dump it in the mikveh. Says Rav Elazar. Rav Yeshua Amar Yitameh Vachakach Yitbal. Rav Yeshua says, no, you have to be Metameh at first and then be Tovelet. And this is all because of the Tzedukim, because again, we're trying to disprove the Tzedukim. We'll see again how in a minute. But the Tzedukim are not Modeh that Kelim and Agmarim B'Tahara require Tevila at all. So if we're trying to prove to the Tzedukim, see, we're being Metameh and we're using something right after the Tevila. We don't have to wait until Harav Shemesh. Then simply being tovel the kli after it's completed is not going to prove anything to the tzedukim, because the tzedukim don't think that kli is tamei to begin with. Therefore, we have to be metame et biyadayim, dump it into the mikvah and use it right away. Then, according to Rav Yehoshua, Vavinamba, and we ask the question about this shvaferis, about the reed tube that you're using here, dechatchaman, who's cutting it already? So ilayim dechatcha chaver, if it's a chaver who's cutting it, so lamalei tefila. So why does it require tefila? Vela dechatcham aretz, elamai, it's an amaretz who's cutting the reed tube. So behold, ema Rav Yeshua, yitma v'yitval, hatame v'kai. Why would Rav Yeshua then say that you actually have to affirmatively be metame the reed tube biyadayim if it's an amaretz who's cutting the tube? Then we know it's Tamei. So Viyama Rabba Bar Shila Amar Rav Masna Amar Shmuel Yolam Dechatcha Chaver. Really, we're talking about a situation where a chaver cut the reed tube. Umishum Tzinora Dam Aretz Denafal. And same fear as we just expressed in the Gemara for our case, where we're afraid that the spittle of an Amar Aretz fell on this reed tube. So says the Gemara, Amos, when did the spittle fall? Ilema makame delichtecha, if it was before the reed tube was cut, alav manu, it's not considered a kli. Velabasar delichtecha, maybe it fell after he cut the reed tube. In other words, after it was already fashioned into a kli. But then Mizrzarba, but then a chavar is there, he's going to protect it, he's going to make sure that it doesn't become tame. So again, says the Gemara, same concern, liyola makame delichtecha, really we're afraid that the spittle fell on it before it became a kli. It can't become tame, but duma beinah dechadcha dayan lachi. So let's say, so we're afraid that at the time when you cut the reed tube into, when you cut it and fashion it into a kli, the moistness was still there, and therefore at that point it could have become tame. So says the Gemara, bishlama l'Rav Yeshua. I understand according to Rav Yeshua where you're actually being metame the thing, and then you're putting it into a mikvah, and then you're using it. Hainu de'ika keru l'tzedukim. That is that in that situation, there is a heker to the tzedukim because we were actively metame it. Now we're putting it into a mikvah. We're then using it that we're going to use it without herav shemesh because tumah of a tful yom who was tovel but didn't have herav shemesh is kosher for afer para. The tzedukim argue, so what we do is we purposely, to show that the tzedukim are wrong, we purposely make a tamei, we put in the mikvah, then we use it right away, even when it has the status of a tful yom, even before Herev Shemesh. The Tanan, because says the Mishnah, the first wide line, Metamen hayu es hakohen asorif es hapara, they would actually be Metame the Kohen who would do the Maisa Parah, lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim, to take away from the tzedukim, to disprove the tzedukim, shayu omrim b'murei shemesh hayu nasis, because the tzedukim said that everything has to be totally tar. In other words, that you can only do it with somebody who already had Herev Shemesh. You cannot be its full yom when doing the Afer Para. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua said, no, we're going to prove that you could be its full yom. We're going to make a tame, then we're going to put it in the mikvah, we're going to use it then immediately. So I understand, according to Rabbi Yeshua, there's a hacker to the tzedukim. Ela Rabbi Lazar. However, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar was the one who said that, no, just dip it into the mikvah right away and then use it, because Kalim Shenigbaram B'Tahara require tefillah for kachim and alachas kama v'kama for chatas, said our Mishnah. Ela Rabbi Lazar, Iam Rabishlama B'Alma Bina Nerev Shemesh. If ordinarily you need Herev Shemesh, in other words, if the halach and the Mishnah should have been that Kalim and Agvarim B'Tahara, before you use them for Kachim, require Tefillah and Herev Shemesh. So if usually they require Tefillah and Herev Shemesh, Hainu Dikei Kerila Tzedukim. Now I understand there's a hecker for the Tzedukim, because even though usually in order for me to use this stuff for Kachim, it requires Herev Shemesh, but for the Efer Chatas, I'm not going to require Herev Shemesh. And that shows not like the Tzedukim. Eliyam Reb Bishlama Lobin and Herev Shemesh, Maya Kerila Tzedukim Ika. But if Kalim and Agmarim B'Tahara never need Herev Shemesh, then there wouldn't be no hecker to the tzedukim, because we always use stuff like this. We're not disproving the tzedukim, just we always use stuff like this. So Elamai, our Mishnah, can't be like Rav Elazar, because it must be that Rav Elazar usually holds that before you could use a kli shenigmar batara for kachim, it requires not only tefillah, but also Herev Shemesh. Therefore, by Ifra Chatos, when we don't require Herev Shemesh, that is the poke in the eye to the tzedukim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, turning over to Chav Gimel Amabez, Amar Rav, Asua Ketame Sheretz. They would make it like, like something which is Tame Sheretz, meaning that they would be Gozer a Tuma Midrabanan. They would hold out the Shvaferes as if it touched a Sheretz. However, all this Tuma was only Midrabanan because of a Heker for the tzedukim. So in other words, the shvaferes was like a rishon letama and can make something into a sheni, and they can make something into a sheni, and therefore ordinarily it is the type of thing that would require herev shemesh. And if you don't require Herev Shemesh, it shows that we're not going like the Tzedukim. This whole concept of not going like the Tzedukim, the Achronim are bothered. I mean, the Tzedukim aren't going to admit to our halachas anyway. So like, what are we're trying to prove that they don't really care. Well, we say, no, but it's just to make a hecker that we're not, just to make a hecker, to make it clear to everybody that we don't paskin like the Tzedukim. It says the Gemara, Elamayata, Lo Satame Adam. But in that case, It shouldn't be metame in Adam. Why? Because something which is tame sheretz is not an avatama, and a person can only become tame for something which is an avatama. Yet we know that everybody who's involved in the Efer Chatas ritual becomes tame. So how is it that this thing is able to be metame people? Alamatanya, chotcha umat bila ton tvila. That whoever handles this item requires tvila. Ve'laso katame meis. They're going to give the shvaferes that's used for the Efer Chatos the status of something which is actually tamei meis. So I hachi, says the Gemara, it's like a tamei meis. Tiboy azah shlishi yishvi. Then whoever handles something which is used in the maisa para should not only require tvila, but he should have to conduct himself like somebody who's tamei meis lagamre, and he should require hazah on the third day, sprinkling of the Efer para on the third day and the seventh day, and then tvila on the mikvah. Alamatanya, however we learn, chotcha umat bila ton tfila. Whoever handles this implement, whoever handles the kalim that you use for the Efer Para requires tvila. Tvila in, the diak and the gemara is that they require tvila, but azah shlishi yishvi lo, but they don't require azah shlishi yishvi. Elaso katame meis b'shvi shalo. So like a weird concept, we're going to treat this shvaferes, the kli that we use for the Efer Para, we're going to say that it has the status of tame meis, of something that's tame meis, but it has the status of something that's tame meis on the seventh day. And therefore you could go right into the mikvah, and then right after you go to the mikvah, then you're good to go without Harav Shemesh again, because even though you're at full yom, we're doing this lohotzi miliban shel tzedukin. But says the Gemara, if everybody could please mute themselves on the Zoom kindly. How could it be that the situation is that we're applying to the Shvaferes a status of Tumas Meis on the seventh day, Vatanya, but we learn in a Braisa, Me'olam lo chitshu davar bapara, they were not mechadesh any type of tuma legabe para. In other words, we would abide by stringencies, but we wouldn't make tuma up out of whole cloth. Samra Abaya, Shlo Omra Kordam Tame Moshav. No. When it says that we're not Mechadesh Tumah Bapara, it means that we're not going to allow something, we're not going to permit something to have a type of Tumah which inherently it's unable to have. In other words, like we're not going to say that a spade is Metame Tumas Moshav. Tumas Moshav is what happens when a Zov sits on something and puts his weight or puts her weight on something, then it becomes Tamei B'Tumas Moshav. So, and usually Tumas Moshav only applies, it's only applicable to something which is used as a seat. An axe or a spade which has a blade, you better not sit on it. And therefore, since it's not made for sitting, it won't become Tamei Tumas Moshav, because Tumas Moshav, as a general klal, does not apply to this type of kli. Kedetanya vayoshev ala kli. It says Tumas Moshav applies only by somebody who sits on a kli. Yachal kafasa v'yeshev aleha tirka v'yeshev aleha. I would think that if you took a container that accommodates a saw, that you could fill with a saw's worth of produce or two saw worth of produce and turn them over and you sit on them, yay tame, I might think that they are tame. Tamalomer vayoshev ala kli. Asher yeshev alav yitma. Misha miyuchad li yeshiva yatzazeh shomrim lo amod v'lasa malachtenu. That the only type of kli that can become tame with Tumas Moshav is something that is meyuchad li yeshiva. However, a kli like this, which is ordinarily a storage container, if you turned it over and you decided to sit on it, everybody who's working, everybody who needs to work with a kli will say, do me a favor, get up, get out of here, and let me go to work. Therefore, it's not meyuchad li yeshiva, it's not a chair, and because it's a chair, it's not going to be metame tumas moshav. So too, that when we say that we're not mechadesh, tuma by Efer Chatas, what it means is that we're not going to apply a certain type of tuma to a kli that this type of tuma should never apply to. So we're not going to say that something which is not miyuchad li yeshiva is tumas medrash. However, if we're going to take a type of tuma that exists, tame meis, we can apply that status of tame meis to something that has the ability to become tamei betomas meis. The shvaferes has the ability to come into contact with a meis. So we're not saying this thing which can never really contract tamas meis is now going to contract tamas meis. It has the ability to contract tamas meis. We're going to pretend, because of the mila of the efer para, we're going to pretend that it became tamei with tamas meis. Not only are we going to pretend that it became tamei with tamas meis, we're going to pretend that it became tamei with tamas meis and already experienced azah shlishi yishvi. So now all you need to do is dip it into the mikvah. Once you dip it into the mikvah, you're going to use it right away, even without Harav Shemesh, even when it's considered to be the status of its full yom, and all that is kedei lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim. So we're going to leave off over here, purposely stopping a little short, because the last daf, which is on Tuesday, is going to be a very, very short daf, and the rabbi is hopefully back from Israel, so he is going to continue tomorrow and through the rest of the Masechta, because he was supposed to go to Lublin, but that trip was unfortunately canceled. So he is back to take us home and complete Masechas Chagiga and Seder Moed. Hope everybody has a great day, a great Shabbos, and a guten Chodesh.